Blog Talk Radio.
Saturday, Saturday. Space. Good. Maybe.
Apparently it was delayed, but there it is.
Ground control to Major Tom. Ground control to Major Tom. Take your protein pills and put your helmet on. Ground control to Major Tom. Commencing countdown, engines on.
3, 2,
check ignition,
1.
And may God's love be with you.
Now it's time to
Space Oddity, David Bowie. Space Oddity is a song that was written and recorded by English songwriter David Bowie. It was first released 11th of July 1969 by Philips Records. Then as an opening track on his second studio album, David Bowie wrote Space Oddity, a tale about a fictional astronaut named Major Tom. It's the title and subject matter were partly inspired by Stanley Kubrick's film 2001 Space Odyssey that was released the year before, 1968. And Bowie's feelings on alienation at the point of his career musically, Space Oddity was one of the most complex songs Bowie had written up to that point and marked a change from the music hall influenced sound of his debut to his sound that is akin to psychedelic folk and inspired by the music of the Bee Gees. Space Oddity is now considered one of Bowie's finest records and remains one of the most popular songs. It has appeared in numerous best of lists, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame 500 songs that shaped rock and roll. Yeah, Space Oddity gives that feeling that we all have tried to feel, the loneliness of being lost in space. Well, welcome to the show. I'm Jay Hatter, your host. With me is AP Taylor and Deborah Lee. How are you guys doing?
Good, thanks, Hatter.
Good, how are you?
Good. Yeah, I'll do the finish the intro. We are a team of voices. We are a group inside the biggest writing site on the planet, allpoetry.com. It's free to join. You can come in, find the groups, look up ATOV, a team of voices. Knock on the door, Deborah will let you in. It's, like I said, free to join. You want to express or read some good writers. Tonight, Saturday, the prompt is space. So everybody wrote to space what it means to you, what the word space. It could come into any form, outer space, inner space, my space, your space. So that'll be good. And we also have the collaboration back. And Deborah, you said it scored a 10?
It sure did.
AP, you want to explain what the collaborations are?
Yeah, well, it's pretty straightforward, Hatter. This would be the 73rd time that we are given an image by Deb, both of us, separately, and we go and write our lines, usually about 12 of them, to that prompt, and then Deb takes those 24 lines, 12 from each of us, and forms them into a poem. It's as simple as that.
Yeah, and 12 lines you would think would be all the piece of cake. Sometimes you're sort of lost about 9 or 10. At least I am. Try to find something in there.
Yeah.
So how'd you find the picture to draw to write to? Was it easier or more complex?
I thought I got some okay lines. I think you probably got the more interesting lines, Hatter, to be honest. But I got stuff to it, but it probably was at a sort of fairly shallow level, I reckon. I think, as I said, you probably got the winning lines this week.
Well, that's debatable. But Deb, you said this was a more difficult, the hardest one.
Yes.
Just a piece together. Just a piece together.
Definitely a little more difficult. And I mean, other than the obvious conjunctions, I think I added 3 words. So it was just, it wasn't even the directions that were taken. It's hard to explain. It was just, who would have expected, here's an example, who would have expected the word palindrome to be in there? So I was like, what the heck? But anyway, it always seems to work out. It was just a little more time and effort to make it cohesive this time, I guess is
yeah.
The best way to.
Yeah, you know, now that's allowed. That's allowed. You can add and drop lines just because of the way we, AP and I, do not talk or speak about it in order to do that.
Well, I even split one of your longer lines in half twice, so it might look like you have extra lines, but you don't. It's just how I needed it to make sense. So
I did have some long lines. Apologize for that.
No, don't. It works out. Like I said, it wasn't there wasn't anything wrong with any of it, other than the part where Deborah Lee is going to speak now. That didn't fit, so, you know, whatever.
Oh, come on.
Come on, give me a break. You can't put me in everything. No, seriously, it didn't. It just, you'll see. You'll see.
Okay.
But, like,
right.
I already got a chance to tell AP before the show, but my son's getting done earlier than he's supposed to, so I'm only here till 10:30.
Oh, okay. Do we have anybody in the studio?
Not yet. I know Steven has a piece, and they're finishing up over there. And as you chose space, I was wondering if AP might happen to know his for next week, so that I can look for art to give you tonight. I'm going to try to have something in common from now on with the collab, since it's usually what I read. And tonight, that's why I went where I went.
Okay. Well, I was thinking of using ferns, Deb. F-E-R-N-S, ferns.
Cool.
Ferns?
Ferns,
like
ferns. Yeah, like a plant.
Okay. Yeah.
Ferns that can be under the sea. There's wow. Okay, I'm going to. Okay, cool. I'll try to coordinate.
So, but we wanted to fill this up with somebody to write till Stephen calls in, or how you want to do it?
I think he might have just called in as we speak. Hello, is that you, Stephen?
Yes, it is. Hello.
Hey.
Hello.
Couldn't have timed that better. Absolutely, we said your name and you were there.
Yeah.
He brought the magic with him.
Yeah. Perfect. Perfect.
All right.
So.
Well, let's get right into Stephen, because I know he's got to take off usually, where he's been on for 4 hours already.
Yeah,
so
let me put that up on the board for you, Stephen.
Yeah.
So we have it's up on the board right now.
Got it. There he is.
All right. Well, yeah, space was the prompt, and you probably thought I would bring Star Trek, but instead I brought Star Wars, and I wrote this about my favorite character from Star Wars, and this is called Sarcastic Arya. Wisecracking cowboy of Twin Sun Desert, a cranium meriting its weight in gold, saddled in the Falcon of 1,000 years, from the Death Star to Hoth so cold. Swashbuckling hero, though reluctant at first, zagging through asteroid field, getting too close to the bigger rocks, to odds he will never yield. Floating with garbage off Star Destroyer rudder, then off to the city in the clouds, snagged in a block of carbonite, Amity bespoke without a sound. Rescued from the blob and bounty hunter, blindness burdened but a while. Suicide mission to Forest Moon, shield bunker blown up with style. The John Wayne of the galaxy so far away, whether with the princess walking carpet or droids. Friend to he who walks through the sky. And to me, he'll never be destroyed. End poem.
You know he was a nerf herder, right?
Who you calling scruffy looking?
Don't be good with cocky. Don't get cocky. Yeah, this is good. Lost up being hero. That's what he played. He was just a smuggler. Who knew they were all related. AP, hey, what do you think, man?
Oh, I really like it. I'm a big fan of Star Wars, big fan of the character of Han Solo, and the smile and the general sort of, you know, demeanor of the whole character. He just pulled it off and made it bigger than what it ever was, and just a fantastic character and a great poem about that character.
What's the bounty hunter that hunts him? That's hunting him down. What was his name?
Well, there was a lot of them, but Boba Fett was the main one.
Boba Fett.
What was the name again? What was his name again?
Boba Fett. Boba Fett.
Cool. I like the bar scene. You sit in the bar.
Yeah.
The classic
music. especially the undoctored one where Han Solo fires first, because that's how it was meant to be.
Right.
Yes.
Hey. Yeah, but he's got his left hand over here looking at this way by the table. These are not the drones you're seeking.
That's the one.
So, hey, Deborah, we have Han Solo, Steven Solo.
Well, I think it came out awesome, and I really liked the opening line, wisecracking cowboy up Twin Sun Desert. I like the poem, obviously, all the details and stuff and the little pieces that brought you into the scenes. But I think in this particular case, there was real joy and a smile in your voice when you were reading it, Stephen, and that was my favorite part. It was the joy coming from you. But the poem as a 10, and it must be a night for 10s, but Stephen, you're one away from 10, number 400. There you go.
What? Wow.
I remember
one of the first interactions I had with Stephen. Kay had read a poem that had 2 or 3 golds already, and I congratulated on the golds, and I asked Stephen, how many did you get? I don't know if you remember.
I don't remember.
Good answer.
You don't remember that? Ah.
Right.
That's okay. No, I'm giving you the stuff. I was giving you the stuff, giving you the business.
That's all right.
I've been forgotten more, but yeah, can we do the collaboration while Steven's here?
We can, and I was just thinking that, like, Stephen and I are always pointing out the next milestone in our 10s, and he's been counting me because I'm closer to my 1,000th, but I think that's going to shrink because I just realized I'm in the habit of putting my 10s in the 10, and at least 6 of those are actually from the collab, so I'm going to have to adjust that because I would like the 1,000th 10 to really be the 1,000th 10. So
where might you find the number of how many 10s you have?
Well, if you hit auto rank and scroll until you run out of 10s, and then whatever page you're on, multiply it by 3. But personally, I have a folder called 10, and every time I get one, so does Stephen, we just toss it into that folder. And I, like I said, mine's going to come down about 6-ish. So I have 942 climbing to 1,000, but Stephen's one away from 400. That's awesome.
Okay, I'm in my page. I hit auto rank. Okay. But where does it say? I don't see that. 120. I don't see it. I'll look later. Darn bangled gadget. Yeah, can we go ahead and do the collab? This is a 10. I can claim this. I'll take it. Is it up there, Deborah? Unmute.
Yes, sorry about that. Yeah, how to start a folder, and you can put some of the 10s from the collabs in there because I'm going to take them out later tonight when I get back. Anyway, this is called Partying at the Planetarium. A collaboration between Hatter and AP that I threaded together. Here we go. Within the palindrome, I'm all alone, with 2 floors there afloat. Now, I'd like to be in history, but where do I sign my name? Can you see me? Tune interrupts the stars to freckle the gladiator's dreams that might not be what it seems to all the children on the visit. Romans are about to get beat, missing their foundations from the red-covered circles layered in purples. Now, it's all about to get real. Then a blow-up spaceman does tout. yelling cheers to Galileo Galilei, father of incidental poetry. No, I mean gravity and projectile motion. But that seems the big problem to note. Blue-tinted moon in hand so you understand that the satellites tumbling about are singing the spacewalker blues in blue suede shoes that are aimed at the valley below. Hanging the past, passing through gas, holding my breath too long, neath the red planets and yellow dwarfs too. Then paying 4 bits to see the curiosities standing on 10 toes to this telescope's reach. Spare ribs to ponder on things that I wonder, while stairs do night skies reach? Whispering, I believe we are not alone, as all view into the distance. These are the drones we're looking for. And boom.
Damn. I like it. Steven, what'd you think?
Well, yeah, I like the, I was just, you know, it seemed like every twist, every turn in this piece had me going to a different science fiction type genre, where I was seeing anything from Star Trek to Moonraker, even to Close Encounters of the Third Kind, and then you ended up with the Star Wars about the, you know, these aren't the drones you're looking for. So yeah, I like the twists and turns. It's a very interesting picture to write to, and yeah, very cool.
Cool. Any Dune? Feel any Dune in there?
I didn't, but I'll read the Dune. Dune, yeah, Dune, the one with the sandworms and Cal McLaughlin.
The double blue tinted moon.
So, there you go.
Deborah, you pieced it together. You said it's a little more difficult this time. I can see why. I can't believe AP hit on the same. Where'd it go? I'm sure it's your line. And it parallels things I also. Anyway, did you do an inner rhyme line, AP? Yeah. Here in the past, passing through gas, holding my breath too long.
That's all you.
I know it is, but didn't he? I'm asking, did he write one of those in this? Because I thought I didn't recognize what it was. It's there. Spare ribs to ponder on things that I wander. Well, upstairs do like skies reach. I wanted this to rhyme so bad.
Well, there's a thought. Normally, AP does ABAB. So then my first step is to put all his rhymes together. And then thread your lines between them so that every other line rhymes. But he tested me this time by only rhyming every other line. So I had less rhyme to work with. And then I would have had to try to force it rather than just play and maneuver. So I went pre-verse.
Do you like the finished? What do you call that? That inner rhyme. Do you like those finished, or do you? Is that what sort of screwed you up? Was I didn't get finished?
No. I don't want you to worry about what I like. I want you to write what you see, hear, feel, whatever, and. You don't understand. I don't have to listen to the ringing in my ear, and I can block out everything and put together a collaboration. So I don't want you to change what you're doing. I'm just throwing out notes each time because you ask questions.
Yeah, well, AP and I agreed that you have the most difficult job of this. We can go anywhere, say anything, and then shake our head and say good luck, Deborah.
Well, you quite often do say good luck, Hatter.
When I struggle to get some lines down, yeah, I will say good luck, man. But you always seem to do it well. AP, you there?
Yeah. Look, I I think it was interesting, Patter, because I had sort of less words as well as less rhyming this time. And so I reckon you probably got twice as many words and sort of more impactful ones as well. And so it was sort of interesting because I was sort of in the stitching rather than in the frame.
I sort of knew you were gonna get the telescopes and the planetarium type feel. So I tried to pick words that would parallel and I'll refer to it also, but just different words. I thought you would be.
Well,
I don't know.
Honestly, Tanner, when I saw it, my head went to Escher, the great image constructor of dimension and leading your eyes astray, and it reminded me of an Escher painting.
Yeah, I got the planetarium feel also, Spacewalker blues,
yeah,
and Bruce Wayne blues. The four bits.
Hatter, I have to go. So
okay.
Make sure you let Stephen push the slideshows before he goes. And
okay.
I'll talk to you guys soon. Love and respect.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks, drive safe.
Take care, Jeff.
Your song is listed under the man's name.
I've got it. Yes, got it. Thank you.
So, Stephen, go ahead. You want to pimp out your shows here? What's going on at the Slice of Poetic Life?
Over at Poetic Slice of Life, our next show is The Mortuary of Shadows on Monday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern. And since it's a new month, it will be our new monthly visit with Edgar Allan Poe. And we're looking at the short story, The Facts in the Case of M. Valdemar. We have quotes from that story to write to. There's also actually a cartoon short that somebody did an excellent job putting it into a visual type thing in the folder if you wanted to watch that. It's very short. It's very cool. Check that out at 7:30 p.m. Eastern.
All right. That's what was the name of the show? The visual
Mortuary of Shadows.
Mortuary of Shadows. Cool. Thank you. And thanks for writing, and thanks for sitting in and listening to our stuff.
Have a good night, guys. Take care.
Okay, man.
Thanks Stephen.
Man. All right.
So Hatter, if you have a look on the board, that was the image that I put up there that reminded me of the picture that we got.
Oh.
That's where my head. There you go. Yeah.
And who's the guy that does it? And who's the guy that does this? Who's the artist?
That is a picture from Escher, Escher. He plays with dimension and imagery, and he you can see there the water appears to be going uphill, even though it can't.
Yeah.
And your eyes are tricked into doing it. It's quite wonderful.
Yeah, I dabbled in that kind of art with stairs and slides and paths.
Yes. Yeah.
It's very difficult to do and to keep the dimension.
Incredibly difficult. No, incredibly difficult.
Yeah.
So,
especially in black and white. Especially in black and white.
How did you go with space, Chatter? How did you go with the prompt?
I'm sorry, you broke up. Say that again.
No, I was just saying, how did you go with the prompt? How did you go with space?
I found it easy. There was a number of ways I could go, and I was surprised myself because I ended up going one angle that I didn't think I would, but it seemed to blossom into a workable piece.
Okay. So, well, Hatter, it's up on the board for you.
Oh, okay. And it's called We Really Suck as a Human Race. Goes like this. Please don't stand so close that you block the sun. Listen to those things that appear to have come undone. Rent is higher if you step on the grass. Read the sign or they'll kick your ass. Penalties and fees for trespassing fools. You know you're safe when you stay in school. funny thing is, you can't to feel or touch. It's what's not there that means so much to us. Space is surely a final frontier. A man destroys what wanders near. Let me see the greed on your face. Let me watch the bodies you traced. Let me tell me things just in case. Don't stand there. It's now my space. We really suck as human race. Race to us has been falsely claimed. They twisted it so they win the games. It was never the color from a different place, but always it was a simple race, simply a race. The winds are those that control the space and know how to run at a criminal pace. It was better to lie than to be that guy that always comes in last. Space is like air that should always be shared. That's where I hid my stash.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it, Hatter? You like me, love the rhymes that go with space, but it was really interesting that you went, it was never the colour from a different place, but always it was simply a race. And a little bit later on, I've got a song to finish from a gentleman called Archie Roach, and he was of Indigenous culture, and he got taken away from his parents at the age of two or three, and I can only relate that back to that stanza that there's a race and you control the place and you have that space and you can do whatever you like, even if it's not the right thing to do, and that's exactly what we did in Australia. And so it's funny that you reflected on that in that way, Hatter.
I wouldn't have thought. There's so much in that topic. I figured I would have gone another way, but this seemed to just go down on paper.
Yeah, no. I think it actually landed really well. And interestingly enough, I actually had exactly the same sort of themes. Yeah?
Oh, no kidding.
No, I attacked it in a different way, but the themes are exactly the same. So I might put that up on the board now because I reckon, you know, we're within a bull's roar of each other, to be honest. So this is What Lies Within a Box. And it goes a little bit like this.
Hold on, let me get there.
You got it there?
Not yet.
You got it now? Yeah, okay. Here we go. What lies with...
Yeah, I got it.
Cool. Okay,
got
here
it.
We go.
Yeah.
If had four sides in the absence of space, there would not be a box, just a thick base. When issues concern, though the categories place, is difficult to define if overlap embrace. Within smallest items do atoms randomly race and their connection pleasing at pace. Build a country large where wide vistas face the spies spread wide and eve embrace. While here meteors smash others while lace, if no gaps between all over the place. So it goes to show by nothing you grace and ourselves define. In relation to space, in poem.
Wow. That's odd. I had a lot of those same lines all over the place.
That's what I mean.
It's
coming at the same thing in a slightly different direction, but it's almost exactly the same themes, Hatter.
Now, were you writing this right before the show, or did you just post it before the show?
I posted it before the show. I wrote it yesterday.
Okay. Yeah, that's quite a few similarities.
Isn't there?
Pretty good.
I think that's probably the most similar our sort of finished poems have been on the subject.
I would agree. Deborah's going to have to check this out, too.
Yeah, I think they both line up remarkably closely.
You know, you must have left some residual space around for me to pick up because I finished mine right before the show, a couple hours before the show.
Okay. There you go.
Yeah,
but
interesting.
It's very, very similar.
Yes, it is. Wow, what lies within a box. You know, I had the same kind of ideas. I didn't want to get too abstract away from you own space. That's something that isn't there. I wanted to try to keep on that.
But
the race thing.
I order on the. There you go. It's very very similar.
Hanging around together, man.
I don't know. Go figure. Similar ideas. I mean, it's such a wide topic space, but to sort of narrow down in the way that we both did was really, I think, really interesting.
Just to use the common space, Ryan, is odd. But, some of the content also.
Well, we both used that space rhyme. That's what I said. You know, we did.
Yeah.
So, there we go.
Listen,
anyway.
I was going to say, I had other words like lace and grace. I was trying to weave those in to my, to mine. Those two were edited out, but, the race,
they were there.
Race,
Space,
space, all good. Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Good job, AP.
No, I think it's really interesting. It's like two companion pieces on the same thing, almost, had up.
I'll have to I'm going to copy mine, send it to Deb. Why don't you copy yours and put it in her mailbox?
Yeah, I will, so that she can have a look.
Yeah.
So,
sure,
as I said, I reckon, look, 80% overlap there, to be honest. So, now, Hatter, I was going to play Phil's poem next, which I have sat up on the board, called Board in Space. So we might do that, and then I'll have a chat to you about something a bit different. So here we go now.
This is a poem by Phil the Poet called Board in Space. Space travel ain't what it's cracked up to be. Talk about being bored in space. How many heat tiles have I counted since I got on this floating tin can? I thought it was going to be interesting, having adventures like they do on Star Trek. I see through the portal's blackness with 1,000 shiny pinpoint eyes. They won't let me play with the anti-gravity, so I'll waste all the power to the ship. Can't even play tiddlywinks just in case a counter lodges in the computer's mainframe. They never tell you about the tedious months stuck in space with people driving you nuts. So stay at home, go to university, get a job, but not this one. It's too overrated. If you find this message wondering what went wrong, I opened the airlock just because I was bored. Now I'm dancing with Major Tom in the starry sky. I'm sure he's only here because he was bored too. End poem.
Yeah, we don't know the effect of the loneliness of space. We, like it or not, I think as humans, we embrace the Earth as a safe place to exist. If the Earth was no longer under our feet, you'd have what we refer to as cabin fever. You'd have space fever. People going crazy. The isolation, like in Alaska, certain incidents. What'd you think, AP?
Well, it came off beautifully off the sort of loneliness of space, Hatter. And you know, if we went to the nearest star to Earth and we did that at the speed of light, I don't know how we could, but just bear with me, it would still take 4.2 years to arrive traveling at the speed of light at the nearest star, just to put it into context. And so you know, there's a lot of not very much when it comes to space. And
yeah, they,
I think that's where
they found,
going.
Yeah, I think they've found some what they consider inhabitable planets in the reticuli. Is that what it is? That other reticuli?
Yep. Yep.
I think it's in the belt of Orion.
Yep.
I'm not sure of that, but that's the closest. Yeah, 4.5 years.
At the speed
of light, my God. And in saying that, I don't think we are made to the intergalactic thing. I mean, I don't think that should be considered. Maybe a long-term thought still make a science fiction. But, yeah, you can't, unless you can bend time and space like
yes.
a piece of paper.
Yes.
And it's brilliant that Einstein was able to envision that, being that timelines could actually be folded, could be bent.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
Yeah. So that would be the singularities. That would be the wormholes.
Yeah. So the challenge for our successors had, because it won't be us, but the challenges for our successors are to see, you know, where those bends and wormholes are, and if there's a way that they can be taken opportunity of this whole thing a little bit closer than what it appears to be.
Yeah. Yeah, Phil the poet, and never let this down. I feel a little more boldness in his writing and his recording, which I appreciate. Maybe
yeah.
he's just a little more comfortable. Which is great, and he is one that definitely, if we were to read his poem, it would be a different piece.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. But I like the way he got the Major Tom and the Space Oddity for a wee intro song. So on the same line, man. Yeah.
I think it's really neat.
Very cool.
So, we don't have a lot of time this week, Hatter, and of course we're doing ferns next week, but I did want to talk, if I could, for a few minutes on a particular Australian poet and singer, if that's okay.
Okay, yes, sir, absolutely.
Today, that a very, very well-known Australian author and singer passed away. Archie Roach was his name. And Archie was only 66, so not an old age. And he first came to prominence back about 30 years ago. And he wrote an incredibly powerful song that he performed, and it was incredibly powerful because it was called "Took the Children Away." It was called "Took the Children Away," and
was he
in Australia?
Was he a single artist? Single artist, he didn't play with a band.
A singer, an Indigenous singer, and he in Australia. We had rules and ways we did things up until 1970 where Indigenous children could be removed from their communities and placed away from their communities so that somehow they would get a better education and better outcome. I don't know how you make sense of that, but we did. And even though he was only 66 when he died, he was still a person that was removed from his natural mother and father and under that policy. And he wrote about it, and that was his first song. It was "Took the Children Away."
He had brothers and sisters.
Yeah, he did, and they were removed too. But he wrote about it in a powerful and sad way, but not an angry way, Hatter. He wasn't angry about it. He was trying to get people to learn what it was like. And that was really what his world was about. He tried to get people to learn. And so one of the communities, and in the broad community, is the subject of domestic abuse and people not being given space. And he wrote about that incredibly powerfully and sang about it. So I was going to play his song called Walking Into Doors, and then come back and finish up, Hatter.
Okay.
So this is a live performance by Archie Roach of the song Walking Into Doors, and it's with a couple of Callan Mountford on cello and David Bridie on piano, and I'll play this now.
Wow. He was of Aboriginal.
Business leader. Had a brilliant brilliant voice, brilliant presence in his community, and will be missed. But not just his voice, but his leadership. Yeah,
I think every country has that in a closet. With us, it was the internment of the Japanese in World War II.
It's something you can't take back, Hatter. It's only something that you can apologize for after the fact, and I'm hopeful that our current Prime Minister is looking like we're heading towards some form of apology, and we'll see where that leads. But it's through people like Archie Roach sort of opening his way and his voice, and just a brilliant voice, by the way, a brilliant voice.
I actually watched a video on the on that subject, reparations.
Yeah.
Considered, and it was basically about one of the football players. It was a national. Yeah, I can't remember his name, but that was what it was about, and it hit on the taking of children for better of the state type of thing.
Yes.
Yeah, he's got sadness. A real sadness to his voice.
There is a real genuine sadness. In his voice, but beautiful.
Thank you for the music. Was he?
No.
Considered like a folk singer by chance? Was he considered that?
Very much so. I mean, he sort of crossed into the mainstream, but certainly the last year or two, his health has been poor. He was still singing, but he was singing with an oxygen sort of tube the last couple of years, and so that's why
other Australians were attributed by either like banjos on a $10 is it $10
yes
stamp
was he also
honored in a stamp or something
not in that way. He got an award from government award and an AM. We have a series of awards, and he got one of those. He is in the Hall of Fame for the recording industry. He got a series of awards for his writing and for his music.
What years were he most popular?
He was active from about 1983 to probably 1990. It was probably that 80s years that he was the most active and popular.
I do believe that any artist that passes away needs to be remembered as well as possible.
Absolutely, and he was, you know, a pioneering storyteller. He was a wonderful musician, had a tremendous voice, and you have to remember people like that.
Yeah, I was trying to think of who his voice reminded me of, and I can't pinpoint it, but definitely a good sound. It's almost a longing in that song anyway.
Yeah, there is. I agree. Anyways, well, we've come to the end, Hannah.
Yep.
We've been an hour long ago, but we've come to the end. And did you want to say some thanks to people? And we'll be back next week with Ferns.
Ferns, yeah. I want to thank Phil, the poet, for writing that beautiful verse and recording it for us. Stephen, for calling in and sharing his. AP, it's always a pleasure to spend Saturday night. You're in my tomorrow with you. And Deborah Lee, can't do it without you. And thanks to anybody for listening and spending time with us on Saturdays. Hatterday Saturdays. So you wanted to play a song? Was that the song you wanted to end with then?
Well, I was going to play that again just to finish, Adder, if that's okay.
No, yeah, let's do that. That's fine. Songs need to be played more than once. That always bugs me. Yeah, you hear a song, it's played again.
We'll finish again with Archie Roach and Walking Into Doors. And until next week, have a great week, and we'll be back for Ferns. Thanks, Adder.
Thank you, AP.
Here we go.
Okay.
What I command while she cries. Why should we do what we do and sleep at night? The crazy thing we put her through, it isn't right. It isn't right. So my brother, don't hurt her anymore. She got her own, you got yours. And she's sick and tired of working in the I know.
I got who he sounds like. Sounds like Harry mm-hmm. Chapin with a little Harry Nilsson.
Ah, well, there you go. That's impressive. And we should say, of course, rest in peace to Archie Roach, brilliant singer and a brilliant elder. And we will be back with Ferns next week, Adam.
Yep. Thank you again, man. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you. Bye, everybody.
All right. Bye, everybody.